Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast. My name is Peter Simons and I'm your host.
Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host.
In today's episode, I'm in conversation with Sujit Ravindran. Sujit recently published a book called The Being Leader, where he examines the leadership of Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, and Abraham Lincoln, and looks into their what made them unique as a leader. We discuss his book and put it in the perspective of collaboration. Also looking into how Sujit is working and collaborating with his team across the world. And you will hear that his team is more like an ecosystem rather than a traditional team. Well, without further ado, let's dive into the conversation and welcome Sujit. Sujit, welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. Sujit, you and I think we go back 8-9 years when we both were working in the corporate world. But a couple of things has changed on your side, on my side. And I guess many of our listeners will be new to this conversation and to you. So why don't you introduce yourself to a listener?
As you know, of course, I'm Sujit. I've had that background, a great blessing of being in the corporate world for a number of years of life. And it was in the early 2000s. I felt it was a sort of a spiritual crisis and a calling at the same time. You know, I feel like I've been there, I've done it, and I wanted to kind of go further. To self-actualize myself further. And around that time, I saw the corporate world and I was asking myself, you know, some fundamental questions around my path, my purpose in life. And thereafter, I got involved in some startups and all that, but the most important experience for me was around my self-awareness, my growth, in that area. And all my life as a child, I've always loved helping other people unlock their potential. But also loved writing. So those are some of the things that came together. And now for the past 8 years, I see myself more and more helping individuals and groups fill their potential, whether they are in the public setting or whether they are in the organizational setting, you know, business, politics, NGOs. And I like to spend my time writing, otherwise traveling, you know, this great blessing I have to spend 3 months in Europe every year and 3 months in Asia, helping individuals and organizations evolve. That keeps me feeling alive, feeling fulfilled. This last book that really got us talking about collaboration, that was also actually that product of my own self-examination. Asking, who do I feel truly connected to? What kind of role models inspire me? And I noticed for myself that the role models that inspired me were not really the conventional ones that most organizational citizens get inspired by. And that also probably relates to collaboration because I find very fascinating how people think of harnessing the power of the world. It's also a personal experiment. So this is a little bit about how I practice my life and experiments and where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, and you already dropped the word collaboration a couple of times. But before we dive in, what is for you collaboration? And I purposely in our pre-chat, we discussed alliances and all that kind of stuff. But on purposely, I make the question pretty broad. So I'm not really framing collaboration. I leave that to you.
Lovely, lovely. Yeah, I love that broad question, you know. You're getting me thinking around what I feel is important. Let me throw a couple of things that speaks, resonates very profoundly with my spirit. Collaboration. At the core of it, for me in my own life experiments, but also supporting others, at the core of it is a self-awareness around I am and what are my gifts, my strengths, my talents, my life lessons from my painful events. You know, having that self-awareness, like now you, Peter, you being so passionate about personal growth, you have, in my chats with you, I've understood, you have this profound awareness around what makes you unique. Your gifts, your talents, your strengths, your life experiences from your corporate world, from your personal life, all of that. Once I have that clarity around what my unique gift is, I also realize what else do I need from the world around me to create aliveness, to create fulfillment in my life. And it could be something as simple as your family life, where you collaborate with your wife, with the rest of your family members to create this beautiful play of joy, of happiness, of love together. I'm using that as a very local example of where you bring in something that is unique to you. Your partner brings in something that is gifted to her. And both of that is needed to create this spark, this flush of play, of love, joy, of synergies. That is the second part. It's in collaboration. First, I believe the self-awareness piece. And second, the leveraging of complementarities, of the unique gift that God or universe or the creator, whatever, whichever way you want to call it, has gifted to other individuals or other groups or other ecosystems or other teams. You want to leverage so that both of you create synergies, whether it is just financial line or it is in the family, in the personal setting, the pursuit of fulfill of love, of joy, that synergies that comes through leveraging the unique gift of each individual, that I believe is the second piece of collaboration that is important.
Mm-hmm. And interesting that you mentioned that. So my mind immediately goes to having the collaborative business podcast. So how do you collaborate in your business? You mentioned you are 3 months in Asia, 3 months in Europe, probably the other six you're at home in Canada. So yes. How do you collaborate? Do you have a global team? How do you do it?
Very much, very much. I have these incredible individuals in all these countries who pull together events. And these individuals, it's been years of patient search of getting to know each other, of bonding, of building relationships based on love and trust and mutual respect, etc. And also realizing, you know, it's been a constant process of people coming and going. People who, at that stage of life, they feel like, you know, event management is important to me, or making organizing conferences that will make a difference in the lives of corporate citizens or organizational citizens is important. I always honoring them, however basic, the task they do. It could be there are people in my team whose responsibility is simply to send out invitations to organizations. They would stick the stamp onto the envelope. They'll put sheets on this machine, etc. And they love doing it when they're allowed to do it, when they are given the space to do it, and more important, when they are acknowledged. So I've created this incredible team of people and of various nationalities, of various ethnicities, of various, different genders, and harnessing their strengths, their gifts, and honoring them, acknowledging them, creating the platform. Like, you know, I have this Google Calendar, which all the team members across the globe, they have access to. So they look at that calendar, they see where the free slots are, they see when I'm coming to a neighboring country or neighboring city, for example, and they align with those teams using the strength of technologies. So at multiple levels, at the interpersonal, at the transpersonal level, but also a purely logistic level, I like to pay considerable attention to the mechanisms that these human beings bring, but also the opportunities of leveraging these technologies, etc.
So what you describe sounds to me more than a team. You still call it a team, but it sounds more like an ecosystem or a network of collaborators that help you do what you do.
Very much. I love that word that he used, an ecosystem. You know, at the end of the whole process, I'm the one standing on stage, and many people in the audience, they wrongly think or believe that the reason why they're getting so much out of this is because Sujit, who does work and his practice and his message and all of that. And that is, nothing could be further from the truth. Even when I'm speaking with you, I'm filled with this deep sense of gratitude for those people being so instrumental that I don't hesitate to give them most of the credit for being so crucial to that ecosystem, that however insignificant my ego, their contribution might look, it is a fundamental, a crucial part of that collaboration, that contribution, without which there is absolutely no way I can, without any headache, without any hassles, without any worries about any detail, be able to step on that stage and help those individuals. So, I mean, the audience. So very much that ecosystem is, I mean, there, these partners, these people contribution is integral to that ecosystem.
And at the same time, you are showing an enormous amount of respect for your network, for your ecosystem, but you're also showing your leadership that you are able to do so, which is actually a nice bridge to your latest published work, your book, The Being Leader. What is a being leader?
Wow. There are many layers to that question. I just want to draw the distinction there. It's in chapter 3 that I speak about that extensively. But a being leader is not a doing leader. What I mean by the many senior business and political leaders that I'm fortunate to support or witness, they are so focused on productivity and performance that they are very outwardly focused. And I've studied many of leaders that we know, we read in the Forbes magazine or in Time magazine, or we watch on television, or the case studies in business schools. We know many of these doing leaders. And I've studied many of them, and I noticed that, you know what? They, after they disappear from the screen, from the scene, 3 years later, even their colleagues have difficulty recollecting their names. The being leader has this fundamental difference, and that is that inward focus. And here is where it gets really simple, so simple that it might be easy to discard it. That these gentle, they simply focused on being the example that they want to see around them. And that was it. Their responsibility was to embody their greatest inner self. And there is something inexplicable but magical about that. That is, the moment you, Peter, and I know you, and you as a tremendous example that inspires me, anyway, the moment you, Peter, you step into your highest inner essence, the world around you automatically resonates with it. They respond to it, and they start elevating themselves. So the being leaders are people who have focused on that inner essence, to constantly focus on that self-attuned. And of course, in this book, I've used the examples of Gandhi, Mandela, Martin Luther King, and Abraham Lincoln. I'm sure that there are many other examples too. But these were, in that stage, in that phase of my life, four leaders who resonate with us in the modern life. You know, they're not monks, and they're not Jesus Christ, they're not Buddha, they're not living, they're not individuals. These being leaders are not individuals who are disconnected from us. They're very much living like each one of us. And that is something that was inspiring for me about these being leaders, that live a life which is very similar to ours, yet they are legendary.
When I, and actually I'm looking at the cover of your book on Amazon, so I see those four heads of those four leaders on the cover of your book. And it reminds me, seeing the face of Mandela, it reminds me of the fact that I watched his of the movie last week of his book, A Long Walk to Freedom. And I also already read the book a couple of times. And I think Mandela from the four is the example that is most fresh to all of us. Almost everybody, well, no, everybody who is listening at the moment will have known about Mandela and will have lived in the days that Mandela was alive. Can you use examples of Mandela and his work in Africa, in South Africa? What makes him a being leader, and how he collaborates there with his people in Africa, and not only the people in Africa, but the people around the world to accomplish what he did?
A lovely question, very specific there. Peter, one of this capacity that the being leaders had, they had this capacity for compassion, for forbearance, that Mandela could see the goodness even in his enemies. He could forbear the people who brought indescribable suffering to him for 27 years or more. And capacity, you know, in Mandela's words, you know, he would tell his autobiographer that once you understand that everyone is motivated by self-interest, you start understanding them. One, you start feeling sorry for them. You start feeling compassion for them. That is a great quality of a being leader. To come back to the second part of your question around how elaborated, you know, in the current business setting, in the current political setting, you know, there is such a huge challenge. And the Fortune 500 companies into which I'm invited to support the top management. I noticed some of their greatest challenge is how to create collaboration within the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, among the employees, among the various departments, among the various business lines, and some of the more advanced organizations, they start asking the question, how can we create collaboration with our suppliers and our customers? Now imagine organizations, rare organizations that I'm supporting, they even start asking the question, how can we collaborate with our competitors? Now somebody like Mandela, he's a shining example of somebody who collaborated with F.W. de Klerk, the premier of Africa when he was in prison. The person who was responsible for indescribable pain in Mandela's life. He comes out of prison and the first thing he does is he starts collaborating with the very perpetrator who took away so much from his life and created the conditions where South Africa rise into an inspirational democracy that is growing right now.
And I see that example, and I like the connection you make with the business world. What should business leaders do to do the same?
Very, very simple. Peter, you know, you and your ecosystem of fantastic experts, masters in alliance and collaboration, the great work that you do. Of all of that, there is one component that I take a stand for, and that is this inner work. All the rest of the pieces, yes, they are important, they're very crucial, that without pieces do not leverage the immense potential from collaborations and alliances and the synergies that that's waiting for us. The one thing that business leaders must very strong focus on, without which everything will always remain a challenge, that is that inner peace of elevating their leadership consciousness. The moment they elevate their leadership consciousness, collaboration is not just one little thing that's on the list. Collaboration becomes front and center to leveraging value creation.
Okay, I can see what you mean, and I can see the results there following then in the business world, whether it's internal collaboration or collaboration with suppliers, customers, competitors, other kinds of partners.
Yeah, it becomes a natural consequence of that elevation of leadership consciousness.
So when... Yeah, I'm thinking about the question, and it almost, I realize that it might be a catch-22, the chicken and the egg question. So what is your number one recommendation for people who are entering into a collaboration? And the catch-22 there is, should they do it first or should they enter into the collaboration first?
I see the subtlety in that question. You know, Peter, fundamentally, I'm an experimentalist. I like to simply say, just start. You know, it is like Martin Luther King said, you know, just take that first step. Just take that first step in faith. That choice to want to leverage the greatness, the gifts that others have to offer. Just take that first step. We will get burnt in that process sometimes. You know, some of the collaborations knowledge. That's okay. Some of them will fail and we learn some lessons. Sometimes we'll get confronted with some of our inner demons that we notice that we have an inherent issue with trusting. We have issues with relinquishing control, giving, empowering more and more other parties. You know, we'll confront these demons only when we just simply take that first step. So, you know, you being a very pragmatic person, Peter, I'm giving pragmatic response. Simply start.
Simply start. Okay.
Yeah, you know, they, you know, do not try to de-risk it and try to analyze, over-analyze it in the head and on your PC and all of that. Start like kids do and learn. You make those mistakes. Become self-aware.
Somehow I have the feeling that when I would have asked you a different question, what would people, should people do and not enter the keep the collaboration part in there, but when they have plans or what, that your answer would have been the same. So just start.
You know, this might actually, and I want to be very cognizant of the time content, Peter. There's you know, a beautiful message, a profound lesson that has come to me that I've shared numerous times that I want to share with you from the lives of these being leaders. Those people who are giving that thinking into collaborations, into partnerships, into alliances, into trusting, controlling, synergizing, instead of asking themselves the question, what do I do next? I have a bolder invitation. Ask the question, who do I want to become next?
Nice. Very nice. So, Sujit, I will include a link to your book in the show notes so that people can easily find it. Would there be any other book that you would recommend them to read?
Can you make that question more specific? You know, are you referring to something with respect to collaborations or in general?
Well, normally the question is, indeed, what business book or book about collaboration would you recommend?
Okay. Top Leaders. There is a very powerful recommended reading. Suggesting which will not really come through your Harvard Business Review list. Yet many of the leaders that I'm meeting now are starting to dabble more and more in that. This book is called the Bhagavad Gita. It is actually it's a spiritual text on personal mastery that comes from India, where I'm from. It'll take a while to digest that. Whoever chooses to read it, but the end of truly assimilating that book, the leader's leadership DNA would be altered. It is called the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, I will include a link to it in the show notes as well, and I will look it up myself. Very interesting.
You would be able to find that text on Google.
Okay. I will look for it and include the link then. Good. So where can people find more about you, Sujit?
SujitRavindran.com or beingatfullpotential.com.
All right. And as mentioned, again, I will link to it in the show notes. So anything you would like to share with our listeners that we haven't discussed yet, Sujit?
Let me see. I want to thank you, Peter. You know, all these years I've been in touch with you and the work that you've been doing. You've been a tremendous inspiration for me, of someone who has being very steadfast in following your passion. The niche that you're passionate about, alliancing and partnerships and collaboration. You being the single greatest voice around this subject that I've followed for so many years, I have immense respect for. So to be able to have this little chat with you today, that's a blessing.
Thank you very much. And thank you for being my guest today, Sujit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Peter.
So far for this episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast and the conversation with Sujit. All we discussed, all the links we discussed are in the show notes. Go to petersimons.com and look for the podcast or search for Sujit. And if you like this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. You will find the link to do so in the show notes as well. Bye for now and until next time.